She's got some special props, I see. We're gonna do a message together today. Yeah, I can get them, baby. I can get them, honey. I'll put them right over here, honey. She may put one of these on, but I'm just going to keep it close by just in case I need it. We're going to actually tag team today. Put it there, girl.
Hey, girl. Honey. Sorry.
Yeah, I think you got that wrong there, baby doll.
Kind of, okay. I'm a little bit Twitter-pated. Okay.
Okay. Your microphone went off. Is that what happened?
Okay. Yeah. Rob was taking care of me.
Okay, good. Very good. So we want to do a message together today called Keep an Eye on the Shore.
Yep.
Keep an Eye on the Shore. And our heart is passionate today to see each and every one of us really ready to move into this new year in strong faith and with a steely focus on Jesus. So would you pray with me, Lord? I just pray you'd speak to us today through your word. Challenge our hearts. Equip us and encourage us that we would move forward in strong faith with our eyes firmly focused on you, Jesus, into this new year, 2021, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me switch places with you real quick, honey, because I want to talk to you a little bit as we start today about cartography. And if you know me much, I love maps, and especially world maps, and have a few, and I love even the history of world maps, and I want to tell you a little bit about it because, you know, we're coming out of 2020, and we're getting ready to enter into 2021, and I think there's no doubt in my mind, in fact, I'll take a little poll here, we'll just see if I'm correct, that there's probably never been a year that you're more anxious to close out than 2020 and get into 2021. How many of you would say, you're pretty much right on there, Pastor Jeff, ready to move in to this new year? Well, it's really interesting. Way back, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, as explorers were going out charting new lands and new maps were constantly being made, it's very interesting. One of the things that they would do when they would make the map, of course, everything hadn't been discovered yet. So there were unexplored territories. Much like 2020 was really an unexplored territory for most of us. We'd never lived through anything quite like that before. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not making any kind of predictions on 2021 except that Christ is going to be with you.
That's right.
That Jesus is still on the throne, that you're going to be okay if you trust in him. But you know what? It may be a challenging year ahead. It may be. It may be a year full of blessings. But here's the thing. It's really interesting. These cartographers, when they're making their maps and they get to the end of what they know, they would put dragons in the portion of the map that had not yet been explored. And they would use a little Latin phrase, hic sunt dracones, that would mean, there be dragons. Now, they're obviously a little bit superstitious and or worried because they don't know what lies ahead. They don't know what lies beyond the actual map itself where it had been explored. So dragons became the thing. You see some dragons here. You see dragons over here with the translated English phrase. And this appeared, first of all, I think, in the 17th century in what's called the Lennox Globe. And this map is even older. This is actually called the Salter map. And they called it the Salter map because it came along with a copy of the Book of Psalms. And this one's really interesting. This one's from the 13th century. And you'll see the dragons. There's the dragons down there below. So still that thought that, you know, beyond what we've explored yet, there's the mysterious and or the perilous or the unknown. But here's the interesting thing. At the top of the map, here's Jesus and his angels. Pointing true north, okay, is Jesus and his angels. So I'm just telling you, there may be dragons ahead, but here's the good news. Christ and his angels are going to watch over you and guide you and provide for you and protect you and take care of you. Can you say amen to that? So this morning, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun with you as we're closing out 2020. Twitter did something pretty interesting. I don't know if you saw it, but they asked the companies across the United States to reply to this challenge. Describe 2020 in one word. One word. It's kind of fun because most of the replies kind of go with the company. Okay, so check this one out. Like Subway. One word. Long. Foot long, you know, sub. Anyway, long. 2020 was long. Here, how about Windows? What would Windows say? Delete. Delete. All caps. And honey, how about this one? You tell us this one. McDonald's.
Do you remember Grimace? It shows my age. Grimace. All right.
Pandora. How about Pandora? What would they say? Skip.
Skip.
Or YouTube. You do this one, hon.
Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Right. Here, you did really good on the first service of this one. Target. What's Target's one
All
word?
Right.
Here we go.
Supercalifragilisticexpialis. Done with this year.
Oceous. Yeah.
Oceous.
No, I just threw that on. Oh. Anyway, yeah.
I had my glasses on. Is that right? That
How about Whole Foods Market? What would they say about 2020? Sourdough.
I like sourdough.
I thought this one was interesting. T-Mobile. T-Mobile. 2020, hindsight. Mm-hmm. Hindsight. If only we'd known, right? And this one's classic. I love this. Probably my favorite of all of them. Lego. Here we go. Ouch. There it is. That Lego piece that you discovered in the middle of the night, you know, with your bare foot. And then just a couple more slides, kind of fun as we think about the year ahead of us, right? The year ahead of us. Now what we've come through, now what we're entering into. Check this out. Before I agree to 2021, I need to see some terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Okay? Before I agree. And or this one, you could go with this one too. I'm not entering 2021 unless I see a trailer first. Kind of want to know what this movie's going to be about.
Yep.
So this morning, we're going to talk to you about keeping an eye on the shore. I don't know how many of you have ever been swimming, maybe you've been in the ocean or a big lake or somewhere where there was quite a current. And you got out there and you're having fun, you know, and you're splashing and having fun and you're enjoying. And suddenly you look up and the shore is not anything you recognize. Anybody ever had that experience? And or you're a whole lot farther from the shore than you realized. Wow, look at that little dot over there. You're going, man, I've been pulled way out from the shore. And we want to talk about keeping an eye on the shore because this morning our whole focus is, as you enter this new year, how are you going to enter this new year in strong faith and be faithful to Jesus and do all that he's called you to do and really move into it without fear, without anxiety, but keeping your eye focused on him.
Mm-hmm.
So really important. A few years ago, first time I had the privilege to go to Hawaii. Oh, thank you, honey.
Sorry.
We went to a place called Hanama Bay. This is one of those experiences where it was kind of one of those flash, your life flashes before your eyes type of experience. Some of you may have been here. It's pretty crowded, a lot of people on the beach, a lot of people up close to the shore. It's a great place to go snorkeling. There's some amazing fish, and we'd been there for quite some time. It was our first time snorkeling together, and we were having a blast, and you know, I'm snorkeling out, and Tracy's following me, or at least I think she is, and, you know, and she comes up at one point only to realize she's following a totally different guy.
Okay,
but anyway,
I didn't have glasses
she'll
on,
have to
right.
tell that story.
He had dark hair. That's all I'm saying.
She'll have to explain that
like,
somehow.
Oh, it's not
anyway,
my husband.
But, you know, I decided I was going to go out further. You know, maybe there was more big fish out further or more. And so I got somewhere way out into here is where I'm thinking it was. And it was quite the ways from the shore. And I got trapped, honestly, in a situation where the tide was changing and the water was going down. And I found myself kind of trapped in a small area where everything around me was coral. And I couldn't get out. And as the waves were crashing, I found myself being beat into the coral. And let me tell you, if you've ever gotten cut by coral, it's not good. It's hard to stop it from bleeding, actually. And it's very sharp. And I'm just in a terrible spot. And I'm pretty good ways away. I don't know if the lifeguard can hear me if I start screaming. And so I cry out to God. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, within just a few minutes, the tide began to change again, mm-hmm. and the water began to rise up. And in this spot, I was able to actually get above it and get over it and get out, and I was so thankful to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, we're living in a unique time.
Yeah.
We're living in a perilous time. That's, Scripture uses that word perilous. It's very interesting. And I think it's so important that we be careful not to drift. Mm-hmm. Not to drift. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it.
And we find ourselves in a difficult spot, right? Where we're overcome. Well, one thing I want to say, Warren Buffett says, only when the tide goes out do you find out who's swimming naked. Anyway.
That was not me.
Keep your eyes on the tide, right? Understand where you are at all times. Well, Jeff and I in the summer, we like to go to a water park. And in the water park.
Hold on. Okay. Uh-oh. This all could right. be dangerous.
Okay, I'm not going to keep this on the whole time, but I thought it was a really good illustration. So in the water park, we love to go on the lazy river. Yes, a lazy river, where the hardest thing about it for me is getting in the tube. Fall in the tube, I'm very graceful. Anyway, so, and you know, with the lazy river, we just lay in the tube, and we let the river take us wherever it goes, right? And Jeff and I were talking yesterday about keeping our eye on the shore, and we were like, you know what? Kind of like where we are right now. We're just all, I mean, we can find ourselves kind of laying in the tube, laying in the lazy river, especially right now, where we're just kind of being taken down the lazy river. If we're not careful, we're not going to be going anywhere. We're just going to find ourselves just wandering around in the lazy river, not really going anywhere. And, you know, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. I won't go into all of that. It's really our false self, not our true self. It's just how we've learned to survive. But 9s like to float, and we like to kind of float through life. We don't want to be bothered. We don't like your conflict. As long as there's peace, we're happy. Don't bother me. And it's interesting because I feel like the Lord is going, get out of the lazy river. Get out. Well, that takes effort, right? It takes getting out of the river, getting cold. You know, it takes going up the river. Mm. It takes effort. And I feel like 2021, God is saying, it's time to get out of the river. It's time. I've got something for you. Mm. Let's get moving in the right direction. Mm. But it's going to take effort on our part. Mm. For us to stop drifting, we have to be anchored, right? You have to be anchored. You have to be anchored to the right thing. Mm. Our question this morning is, where are you? Are you drifting? Mm. Are you in the lazy river? Have you been in the lazy river? Are you anchored to the right things? Mm. How do we do that? How do we know that we're drifting? And how do we become anchored to the right things?
Mm. Wow. Yeah, Hebrews 6 says this, that therefore we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Have you noticed, sweetheart, that after a while on the lazy river, the scenery doesn't change much.
That's true.
It kind of starts to be repetitious, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And you know, one of our concerns as pastors is that we've come through a really interesting, challenging, difficult season where lots of folks have felt very isolated. Mm-hmm. Lots of folks have dealt with even paralyzing fears. Lots of folks have dealt with anxiety. Mm-hmm. We've become isolated from one another, which puts us in a really vulnerable spot. And my heart is that we'll really make sure we get off that lazy river. Mm-hmm. And even the season of Christmas can kind of add to this thing, it's you know, where you're off from work a little bit, you're eating a lot, you're relaxing more. And I don't want to move into the new year apathetic.
Right.
I want to move into the new year focused. Mm-hmm. Focused on Christ. Yeah. Focused on what he wants to do in this year. We look back and there was a lot of good things that came.
That's right.
In 2020, mm-hmm. as we held tight to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing this book club and it has touched me deeply. And it begins with the whole thought. John Tyson tells a story of going to, you want to switch?
Yeah.
Of going to a place in Poland where he's overlooking this river. And it's a historic spot where Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood long ago in the 1930s as Hitler and the Third Reich were rising up and much of the German church was just compromised. Mm-hmm. And there was the compromised church and there was the confessing church. Mm-hmm. And the confessing church was staying true to Christ and true to his word against the cultural push to conform and just fall into line with the Third Reich. That's right. And Bonhoeffer felt the need to start a seminary called Finkenwald that would rise up strong disciples that would stand against the cultural currents. I think it's a lot like the time we're living in.
Yeah.
And listen to this quote from John Tyson. Discipleship must be stronger than cultural formation. This culture's trying to press and squeeze you into a certain mold, right? Loyalty must be stronger than compromise. This, our faith, must be stronger than that, the world's current. The times called for a beautiful resistance. Should we just give up and capitulate to the powers of our time? Should we just sit while our faith is taken captive by political and ideological forces? Should we avert our eyes while mammon wreaks havoc on our hearts? Should we watch 20 million young people leave the church in our generation? 1 million a year give up on faith? That ought to break our hearts, folks. Yeah. Is it possible to build community in such a way that though it is small, generations to come will look back on our faithfulness in a generation of compromise? We need to be a beautiful resistance in these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to move into 2021 with a heart to be absolutely loyal to Christ.
Yes. So how do we do that? Practically speaking, how do we do that? We all agree. We say yes. But then how do we practically walk this out? How do we stop the drifting? Well, 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come.
Amen.
How do you train for godliness? Think about training for a marathon, okay? Think about that. Maybe you're not a runner. Maybe there's something else that you're like, dear Lord, don't ask me to do that. But just, okay, think about it. It would change the way you did life.
Right.
It would change the way you ate. It would change the way that you would sleep. It would change the way, right, your life would run. This is how we are to do with godliness.
Yes.
It should affect every single part of our life.
Right.
You take scriptures and you start memorizing. If you're a person who struggles with anger, then you take scripture that deal with anger. The anger of man does not, what?
That's right.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We start memorizing scripture. If you deal with lust, you start dealing with scriptures on lust. If you deal with pride or greed, take that scripture and say, God, help me. And then train. Go over it. Learn it. Now, here's the thing. You have to start, again, with your heart relationship with Christ. If you're not where you're falling in love with the Lord, you need to look at that. That has to be first. Mm-hmm. If you're not where you're like, God, I really am not where I need to be. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Be honest. But then help me to fall in love with you again. Mm. And then from there, only from there, okay, then you go out and you start doing spiritual disciplines, taking scripture, training yourself. Okay, listen, not when the enemy is breathing down your neck, okay? If you look at people who are trained in the military, right, every single day they train. Every single day they get up. Mm. It's not that the military, the enemy's right there. They're training so when the enemy does come,
right,
which he will, they're ready. It becomes automatic.
Right.
It becomes automatic. Not I'm automatically losing my temper and cussing. Mm. Not when somebody comes and cuts me off and then I'm giving them the special sign, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't do that, but you know, it's okay. If you are struggling with these things, let's practice godliness now.
Yes. Yep.
Let's spend time silence with God. If you're impatient, then sit with silence with the Lord. That's a spiritual discipline. You know, arrive early to places. Be on time. Arrive early even. Practice these things. So when enemy comes, you already got it in your heart. You're like, oh, no, I know where you are, and I know what you're doing.
Right.
I don't have to lose my temper. I don't have to be a man of impatience. I don't have to be a woman who's bitter. I've already got the word of God in my heart.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're training for godliness every single day.
Yes.
Through different ways of spiritual practices that God is showing you how to do that.
Yes. Another way to train is prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
And, for a lot of us, we hear that and we kind of recoil to it because we're like, wow, give up food?
Yeah.
Who would do that?
Oh.
I tell you what, you do that when your passion and your hunger for Jesus is greater than the hunger you have for the very thing that keeps you sustained and living. When your heart is passionate for him, you will give up anything to please him, to seek him, to draw close to him. One of the books I've been reading along with Beautiful Resistance is a great book called Men on Fire. And I want to speak to our men for just a moment this morning. It's a book by Stephen Mansfield, and he talks about the malady of the men of this generation is best described by one word in the New Testament. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's the Greek word malakos. Malakos. It's an interesting word. It's where we get the English word malleable from, and it basically means this: soft, to be soft and perverse as a result of luxurious living. It's kind of what you illustrated a bit ago for us, sweetheart. We're kind of living on the lazy river of life. Mm-hmm. We've forgotten that we're in a battle. Right. We're not battle ready. Yes. We're not battle focused.
Yes.
We're just kind of enjoying things. And let me tell you, if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a fight, if you don't have a battle, if you don't have a goal, then guess what? You are going to drift off into things that quite honestly are going to be costly and damaging to your soul. That's when men end up being captivated by pornography or going after things that they shouldn't instead of the things they should. And Stephen Mansfield gives a great illustration. He says, you know, my dad was a military man, and I grew up for the first 18 years of my life on a military base. And he said, I want you to know, never, never, never one single time did I ever feel threatened or scared or worried because I was around all these guys with guns.
Right.
He said, in fact, when warriors are doing what warriors are supposed to do, you feel incredibly safe.
Hallelujah.
You feel covered. You feel protected. He said, my mom never once was accosted or was you know, treated in any way disrespectfully as she went across the base to the grocery stores and these kind of things. No, she felt safe and honored and respected because the warriors were doing what they're supposed to do. Not being rough and mean and right. manipulative, but being righteous in their duties. And when men rise up and do what they're supposed to do, women feel blessed,
yes.
women feel protected, children feel loved, and they feel covered. And it's time, guys, that we get out of the soft trends of the day and we start becoming the warriors, focused, faithful, and fit for Jesus, training ourselves spiritually. Mm-hmm. If if I were to say to you, hey, run a marathon, you'd say, no way I can do that. But if we started today,
yep.
by next year, you could if we trained every day.
Yeah.
And are we training to be the men and women Jesus has called us to be? If the year ahead is more difficult, mm-hmm. are we going to fall away?
That's right.
Or are we going to stay faithful?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be focused on being faithful
right.
to Jesus always.
Yes. What are you anchored to? We're going to come back to that. What are you anchored to? One of the indications of where we are and if we're drifting, look at your relationships. How are you doing in your relationships? How are you doing in your relationship with God? Do you see him in your life? Is he in the right place? Are you falling in love with him? Remember when Jesus was resurrected? Right? And Mary was going around looking for his body. Where did they place him? Where did they put him? And all of a sudden, Jesus spoke her name. Rabbi, she knew him. That relationship, the intimacy. I'm telling you, I'll always go back to this. If you're just going about doing things, reading your word, and you're not falling in love with Christ, it's going to be like a New Year's resolution. You'll just fall away. You've got to focus on falling in love with Christ. That is about relationship with Jesus first, always. Your heart, always. See, that's when people say to me, oh, I'm dry. I don't want to read the Bible. It's just dry. Okay, where are you with Jesus in your relationship with God? Where are you with him? One-on-one talking, him and you, him and you. You know, God, this is hard. Yeah, I know. Let me help you. God, I feel awful. It's okay. Let me heal you. God, it's terrible. I know, but I'm life. See what I'm saying? He's with you. That Emmanuel, God with us, coming. How is your relationship with Christ? How is your relationship with God? Are you submitting to him in every part of your life? Are you his apprentice? God, how do I love my husband? How do I love him when he's struggling? How do I not get offended? God, how do I just, I never felt this way. I just want to slap him. No, that's not me. You know, okay, my daughter just laughed. Okay, no. I'm saying, really and truly, guys, I'm telling you this. This is life. How do I encourage my kids when they're acting? not quite like I want him to. How do I, this is real life. How do I love myself, God? I don't feel good about myself. I've gained weight. I've gotten older. I've lost my hair, whatever. How do I still love myself in this place? This is life. How are you in your relationship with God? How are you in your relationship with other people? Are you loving people? Do you know God puts us in difficult relationships sometimes? Guess what? And as a nun, I used to be so mad. God, if I was doing all the right thing, things would go smooth. God was like, oh no, this is really not about you and your happiness all the time. This is about you and growth. I'm going to test you and I'm going to put you with hard people because I love you, not because I mean. I want you to be strong in me. I want you to rely upon me. I want you to trust me, not your own ability. This is not about you and trying to figure things out. It's about relying on him. So it's about others and how to love other people well. It's only through Christ that we can do that, right? When they're hard and when they're difficult, right? And then also, do you know yourself? We have to be self-aware. Guys, I struggle with pride. One day I was telling on my husband, this was years ago, I was telling on my husband and I was complaining. He knows this, by the way. And I was telling, Lord, you know, it's so hard. And the Lord said, yeah. And guess what? He's a gift to you because you're prideful. You think you're right all the time. And I need him in your life to help you grow. And I'm like, oh, well, what are you going to say to that? No, I'm not prideful to God. I mean, seriously. So I'm just saying, you know, I struggle with that. I struggle with unforgiveness. I do. I'm immediately offended and I go into unforgiveness. We have to know ourselves, guys, to be able to understand how much we need God and how much we need each other. We are a community. I just had a great talk and a conversation with Alexis about what's God doing in your life? How can I pray for you? We have to be open to each other. We have to be honest with one another about our struggles. We don't need to give each other advice. We need to pray for one another. We need to be empathetic to one another. We need to say, yeah, that's really hard. I don't know how you're doing it, but let me pray with you. Let me walk with you. Let me cry with you. That's how we should be, right? So those are indications. How do we anchor in the Lord? By having right relationships with the Lord and with others and with ourselves.
Amen. I wasn't sure I was going to make it out of that point.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
You know,
I've given you 2 minutes left, so.
The Daily Life Journal is also, I think, one of the greatest tools for training for righteousness that we've ever discovered as a church, and we've been doing it for many years now. If you're interested, you've never been a part, please ask us. We'll help you get set up. But we read the Bible through together in the year, 365 days. 2021 can be the year you get through the whole Bible, and you can do it together with your family of faith, and it's pretty exciting.
It is.
We use YouVersion. We also use Daily Audio Bible. We also have some hard copies that you can get a hold of. But here's what the Center for Bible Engagement tells us. And I want you to hear this again fresh today as you consider, what are you going to do to train to be godly in 2021? Listen to what a difference the Bible makes. The life of someone who engages Scripture 4 or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. In fact, the lives of Christians who do not engage the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as the lives of non-believers. And that should not be so. That means we're not shining a light and we're not making a difference. Someone who engages the Bible 4 or more times a week is 228% more likely to share their faith with others, 407% more likely to memorize Scripture, 59% less likely to view pornography, 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness, anger issues drop 32%, bitterness in relationships drops 40%, alcoholism drops 57%, feeling spiritually stagnant or distanced from the Lord drops 60%. And this is a study done across various ages, nations, and denominations. Mm-hmm. So getting in God's Word daily, folks, is key. Yes. To be anchored and to not drift. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Again, we need to fall in love with the Lord. We need to fall in love with the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. We know this well, but I really want to challenge you to get this in your heart. The Lord is saying, I know the plans I have for you. He has plans for you. No matter what season you're in, young, old, you know, middle, wherever we are, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future, to be able to pray that in every season. Because, you know, we find ourselves in different seasons, right? But he still has plans for us here. You have to live your life with a purpose. You have to ask the Lord, what is the purpose of my life in this season? Who am I to encourage? How am I to grow? How can I encourage my spouse? How can I encourage my kids? You know, and the Lord can show you exactly your purpose in this season. It's so important. If we don't know about our purpose, we're going to drift. We're going to drift, and it's going to get hard, and we're just going to give up. You know what? I don't know. This is hard. People are just grumpy. I'm just going to be grumpy too. No. That's not who God has called you to be. You need to be stronger. God is stronger than you, than the culture and the place that you work. Yes. You may walk in every day and it's very dark. You are the only light that shines. And yeah, it's going to be hard because you know what? The enemy doesn't like you. And people aren't going to be nice to you sometimes. They're going to be rude and they're going to be mean. And you got to stand strong. And how are you going to do that? You're going to train. You're going to get up, get with God. You're going to fall in love with Jesus. You're going to sit with him and you're going to confess your faults to the Lord and to one another. That's what we need to do. God, help me. I'm struggling today with grumpiness and rudeness and bitterness and unforgiveness. Sit with him. Confess your sins because we all need to do that and get cleansed before the Lord. Right?
Amen. As we close today, I want to close with a scripture found in Revelation chapter 3. It's one you've heard before, but I want you to think about it. Maybe you haven't thought about this. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and eat with him and he with me." So many times we hear that. Well, that'll be a common scripture on like an evangelistic track where we're trying to reach somebody that doesn't know the Lord. The truth of the matter is, this is a statement taken out of one of the Jesus addressing one of the churches. Yeah. This is to a church, not to a lost person. When Tracy says, "I've got to fall in love with Jesus anew and afresh every day," that's so true. I accepted him long ago, but you know what? Every day I have to get up and make him Lord of my life again. Fall in love afresh with him again. Invite him to come in and to dine with me and to sup with me and to fellowship with me. I've got to keep my obedience and my love up to date with the Lord, or I will drift just like anybody else. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads with me for a moment this morning as we close. And I want to pray for us. Lord, I pray right now for every one of us in this room and everyone watching, that we will absolutely intentionally make the decision, the determination in our hearts. We're going to follow you. We're going to be faithful to you. We're going to fall in love with you again, Jesus, afresh. We're not going to forsake our first love. We're going to pursue our first love. And as we enter 2021, we're going to do that in strong faith and strong faithfulness to you, God. We're going to train to be more like you. Not just try, but train to be more like you. God, let this be one of the most fruitful years of any of our lives this next year as we trust you, as we cling to you, as we look to you in strong faith. If there's somebody out there watching or here in the room today that hasn't committed their heart to Christ, I want to give you the chance. Just pray with me and say, "Jesus, I need you. Forgive me where I've failed and messed up, and come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And teach me how to live for you." If you prayed that with me, let somebody know. Let somebody know so they can walk with you in this new journey. And Lord, help all of us to enter into this new year with strong faith in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Let's all stand together. And let's give the Lord praise today, would you? Can you give him praise? Amen. God bless you. Lord, go with us now. Let your light shine through us and your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.